Welcome to Bates by Bates, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Imagine a disease that claims hundreds of thousands of lives every single year, mostly women in low-income regions. And this is happening even though we basically have the science to, well, almost eliminate it.
It sounds like something from the past, doesn't it?
Exactly. But that's the reality of cervical cancer today. We're talking about roughly 350,000 preventable deaths each year. And get this. Nearly 90% of those are in parts of the world least equipped to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes you stop and think, why? Why is this preventable disease still such a massive killer?
Yeah.
And the answer so often just comes down to one thing, access.
Right.
Access to screening that's timely and accurate.
Mm.
The methods we have now, often too complex or too expensive or just too slow for the places that desperately need them.
Absolutely.
What if that could change? What if there was a rapid, affordable way to find out who's at risk right there in their community without needing some big fancy lab.
You've hit the nail on the head. That's the challenge. And scientifically, the core issue is that almost all cervical cancer is caused by persistent infection with high-risk human papillomavirus, or HPV.
HPV, right. I think many people have heard of it.
It's incredibly common, actually. The real tragedy is that we know how to detect it early. We have the tools, theoretically. But the lack of accessible testing that directly leads to these preventable deaths, especially in places like sub-Saharan Africa, where the burden is just immense.
Mm.
The World Health Organization, the WHO, they've been very clear about this, pushing hard for better, you know, more equitable screening to tackle the exact disparity.
It's a huge global health issue. And that's why today we're doing a deep dive into some really groundbreaking work.
Really exciting stuff.
Yeah, we're celebrating the collaborative efforts of this fantastic team. Researchers from Rice University, Universidad Eduardo Mondlane in Maputo, Mozambique, that's right, and the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center.
A great collaboration.
Truly. These researchers have genuinely moved the needle on making HPV DNA testing accessible for cervical cancer screening, especially in these resource-limited settings. Their work really holds the promise of, well, changing the game.
It really does. And to appreciate just how significant this is, we need a bit of context.
Okay.
So, as we said, persistent high-risk HPV infection causes almost all cervical cancer. And because it's so precise and sensitive, HPV DNA testing is the preferred screening method. It's what the WHO recommends.
The gold standard.
Pretty much. But here's the tough reality. Most cases, most deaths, they happen in low and middle income countries, LMICs, we often call them,
right,
and particularly sub-Saharan Africa. In many of these places, it's shocking, really, less than 5% of women get screened.
Well, less than 5%. That figure is just stark. It speaks volumes about the barriers, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly stops this critical test from reaching people?
Well, it's complicated, multiple layers. Think about your standard HPV DNA test. It usually needs a proper lab setup.
Oh.
You know, complex machines, people train specifically to run them, and the results, they don't come back right away. Patients might wait days, even weeks.
Weeks?
Yeah. Now imagine you've traveled hours, maybe walked, maybe caught unreliable transport just to get to a clinic. You get screened, then they say, come back in a few weeks for the results.
Oh, man.
Many just can't. They can't afford the time off work again, the cost of another trip. So huge numbers are lost to follow up, even if they test positive.
I see. So that's where the real disconnect happens.
Precisely. And that's why the WHO, recognizing this massive gap, put out their 2024 target product profile, the TPP, specifically for point of care HPV tests.
Okay, a target product profile. What does that actually look like? What's the dream test they're aiming for?
Good question. So the WHO has this ambitious goal. Screen 70% of women globally by 2030.
70%, wow.
Yeah. And to get there, the tests need to tick several boxes. They need to detect at least 8 high-risk HPV types. They need built-in quality control. The reagents, the chemicals used, need to be stable at different temperatures, vital for places without reliable refrigeration.
That makes sense.
And crucially, they need to be low-cost, easy-to-use kits, simple enough for primary care settings.
So are there tests out there now that come close?
Well, we do have some good tools. Take the GenExpert HPV test. It's sensitive. WHO pre-qualified it. It uses PCR, that traditional DNA copying method with temperature cycle.
Okay, PCR.
GenExpert finds 14 HPV types, and once the sample's in the cartridge, it's pretty automated. Works well.
But there's always a but.
But it,
what cost?
Each test is around $15 USD, and the machine itself, about $9,420 USD.
Oof. Okay.
For resource-limited settings, those numbers are often just too high, a major barrier. So the challenge was clear. Find something just as good or, you know, close, but way more accessible.
So GenExpert is good science, but bad economics for many places.
Right.
Which brings us right back to this new research, right? This is where they made the leap.
Exactly. This is where it gets really interesting. They tackled those complexities head on.
Huh.
Their breakthrough relies on a technology called loop-mediated isothermal amplification, LMP.
LMP. Okay, what's special about LMP?
Think of it like PCR's faster, simpler cousin. PCR needs that constant cycling between hot and cold temperatures to copy DNA.
Right, the thermal cycler.
Yeah. LMP does the whole job at one constant temperature, isothermal.
Isothermal. Single temperature.
Correct. And that is a game changer. It means you don't need those complex, expensive thermal cycler machines. Plus, it amplifies DNA super fast. And interestingly, it's less bothered by inhibitors you often find in raw samples.
Inhibitors, like things that mess up the reaction.
Exactly. Things in the sample itself. LAMP can often power through them. This just simplifies the whole process enormously.
Okay, the single temperature thing is huge for field use. But you said they simplify things even more. What else do they do?
Right. There are two really key innovations here. The first one is what they call extraction-free sample preparation.
Extraction-free, meaning?
Meaning they skip that whole step of purifying the DNA out of the sample. Traditionally, you take the swab, you do this multi-step chemical process, use centrifuges maybe, special kits. It takes time, needs equipment, trained staff.
Right. I can picture it. Lots of little tubes and steps.
Yeah. What this team figured out was a chemical way to just lydize the sample, basically break open the cells on the swab, and then add that crude mixture directly into the LMP reaction.
Straight in.
Straight in. Minimal handling, hardly any extra equipment needed, fewer chances for error or contamination. It essentially makes sample prep much, much easier for almost anyone to do.
That sounds radically simple compared to the usual lab workflow. Okay, that's innovation number one. What was the second?
The second is the specific type of LMP they used. It's called detection of amplification by release of quenching, or dark QLAM.
Dark QLAM. Catchy name. How does it work?
It's pretty neat. Think of it like a tiny molecular light switch. You have these special DNA probes with a fluorescent dye and a quencher molecule attached.
Quencher, something that blocks the light.
Exactly. Normally, the quencher sits next to the dye and keeps it dark. But when the LMP reaction starts copying the target HPV DNA, it kicks the quencher off the probe. And suddenly, pop, the dye is free to glow. You get a bright fluorescent signal. It's a really clear, quick way to see a positive result. No complex interpretation needed.
So light on means HPV positive. Simple. And what HPV types does this test look for?
This version targets three of the big ones, HPV 16, HPV 18, and HPV 45. Together, those cause about 75% of cervical cancers worldwide.
Okay, the major players.
Right. And they also included a control, basically checking for human cells to make sure the swab collected enough material in the first place.
Makes sense. And the hardware. You said no complex cycler.
Correct. It runs on this compact, pretty low-cost benchtop device. It's a combined heater and fluorimeter called the Axon T8 ISO.
Axon T8 ISO.
Yeah. It weighs just over 2 kilograms, costs around $6,500 USD. And here's the kicker. It can run on batteries.
Battery power? That's perfect for remote clinics, isn't it?
Absolutely ideal.
Yeah.
The whole thing is designed as a simple 4-step assay, easy to learn, easy to run.
Okay, those specs just scream designed for the real world.
Yeah.
Portable, battery ops, simpler steps.
Mm-hmm.
So the big question, how did it actually perform? What did the results show?
The results were genuinely very promising. First, they tested its analytical sensitivity in the lab using purified DNA.
Okay.
And the limits of detection, the LODs, basically the smallest amount it can reliably find, were really good. Comparable to the gold standards, we're talking 57 copies for HPV 16, about 12 for HPV 18, 14 for HPV 45 per reaction.
Those sound like tiny amounts, so it's sensitive.
Very sensitive. But here's the really exciting part, the kind of aha moment.
Yeah.
When they tested the extraction-free workflow using whole cultured cells instead of purified DNA, the LMP assay's detection limits were actually better than what's reported for GenExpert in some cases.
Wait, better? even without the purification.
Yes. Right. For instance, for HPV-16, it detected down to about 30 SiHi cells compared to GenExpert's 71. For HPV-18, about 8 HeLa cells versus GenExpert's 46.
Wow, that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So simpler process, but potentially even more sensitive for finding those low-level infections early on.
That's what the data suggests. It's a powerful combination.
Incredible. Okay, lab results look great. What about in the clinic with actual patient samples?
Right. Crucial next step. They did clinical validation in two very different settings. First, in Houston, Texas, using 38 clinical samples.
Right.
There, the LAMP test showed 100% agreement concordance with the GenExpert reference test. Perfect match. And importantly, all the samples from women known to have precancerous lesions tested positive.
100% is fantastic. That must have given them confidence.
Absolutely. So then they moved to the more challenging setting, Maputo, Mozambique. They used a larger set of 191 banked swab samples stored there.
Right. Banked samples might be trickier.
They can be. But even there, the assay showed 93% concordance with GenExpert.
93%. That's still really strong, especially given the sample type and setting.
It is very strong. And they looked into the discrepancies, of course.
What did they find?
The samples that gave false negatives, meaning LAMP missed them, but GenExpert caught them, generally had lower amounts of HPV DNA.
Oh.
Which could well be due to the long-term storage, maybe some sample degradation over time. Remember, the Houston samples were fresher.
That makes sense. What about false positives? Did it flag any negatives as positive?
There were two false positives for the HPV-1845 combination in the Mozambique set. Interestingly, those samples had high levels of other high-risk HPV types.
Hmm. So maybe some cross-reactivity or just indicating complex infections?
Possibly. It suggests maybe an area for future fine-tuning, but it's not a major red flag at this stage. And critically, the speed was maintained. The total time from sample to answer for this LMP assay is under an hour.
Under an hour. Wow. Same ballpark as GenExpert, but without all the upfront complexity and cost. So let's connect these dots. We've got speed, high sensitivity, portability, battery power, this game-changing extraction-free approach. What does this really mean for tackling cervical cancer on the ground in those communities we talked about?
Well, it means this assay makes really significant progress towards meeting those WHO targets for a point-of-care test.
Right, the TPP.
Yeah, it nails the under one-hour workflow time. The instrument cost, around $6,500, is much lower than GenExpert's platform. And the cost per test, the consumables, they project it could be less than $8.
Under $8. Compared to $15 for GenExpert. That's huge.
It's a massive difference. And because it's designed to be simple, minimal steps, it can realistically be packaged as an easy-to-use kit. That's just monumental for actually getting screening rolled out widely.
And the speed that enables something specific, doesn't it?
It enables the screen and treat approach.
Screen and treat, tell me more.
Imagine a woman comes into a local clinic, maybe in a rural area. She gets screened with this test. Within the hour, she gets her result. If it's positive, she can potentially receive treatment right then and there in the same visit.
Wow. No need to come back weeks later.
Exactly. This is incredibly powerful in places where making that second trip is a huge barrier distance, cost, time off work, childcare, all those things. It closes that loop immediately, reduces anxiety, stops women falling through the cracks. It's not just about the medicine. It's about delivering care effectively and with dignity.
That immediacy feels truly transformative. And thinking bigger picture, for health systems trying to reach that, you know, forgotten 95% who aren't screened.
This fundamentally boosts accessibility. The low-cost, portable, battery-powered device, plus that brilliant extraction-free prep.
Yeah.
It means you can take high-quality screening out of the central lab and into the community.
Decentralizing diagnostics.
Precisely. Reaching women where they are, women who currently have zero access.
Stop.
Putting powerful tools in the hands of local health workers. It's a paradigm shift.
It sounds incredibly promising. But, okay, what are the caveats? What needs to happen next? It's proof of concept, right?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic proof of concept. But yes, further development is needed. For one thing, to fully meet the WHO TPP, it needs to detect more HPV types, 5 more high-risk ones.
Okay. Broaden the net.
Right. And then there's reagent stability. Lyophilizing the reagents, basically freeze-drying them into a stable powder, would be a huge plus.
Why is that so important?
It makes them shelf-stable without needing refrigeration. Much easier to transport and store, especially in hot climates or places with unreliable electricity. Removes another logistical hurdle.
Got it. More types, stable reagents. What else?
more real-world usability studies. Testing it in diverse field settings in LMICs is crucial. You always find unexpected practical challenges when you move from the lab to the real world.
Ironing out the kinks.
Exactly. And finally, the gold standard validation is still needed. Full clinical validation comparing the LME test results directly with cervical histology.
Histology. Looking at the tissue itself under a microscope.
Yes. That's the definitive way to confirm precancerous changes and prove the test's diagnostic accuracy in large, diverse populations before it can be recommended for widespread clinical use.
Okay, so still some important steps. But what we've learned today about this new extraction-free LMP assay.
Yeah.
It really does feel like a significant leap, making highly sensitive, rapid HPV testing genuinely accessible, even in the toughest settings.
It really is.
It's a powerful tool moving us closer, you know, demonstrably closer, to a future where your geography, your economic situation, doesn't determine if you get life-saving cervical cancer screening.
Indeed. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What does this really mean for that huge global push to eliminate cervical cancer by 2030? And beyond that, how could this kind of thinking, this focus on accessible, rapid diagnostics, inspire similar breakthroughs for other diseases that plague underserved populations?
A lot to think about there. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.